You too. So, okay, well, a couple weeks ago, Pastor talked to you about the Bible, right? And why read it? And he gave us some pointers, gave us some insight into reasons to read our Bible, and just give us some practical tools to help us with that. And last week I talked about the power of connection, specifically connection through small groups, but it doesn't have to be formal small groups. It's just with a small group of believers, right? Like-minded believers who can sharpen you, who you can invest in and sharpen as well. But this week, I want to talk to you about ways to change the things that we want to change. We all have things in our life that we want to change. And generally, there's about five things or five categories of things that we may want to change. And the first one is relationships. Almost every one of us has a relationship, or two, or 20, that we want to change. Am I right? Whether it's friends, maybe family, coworkers, neighbors, maybe even romantic relationships, there's somebody in our lives that we want to change that relationship with. And then physical health, right? Who doesn't talk about or at least think about making better decisions for our physical health? I know I think about it a lot more than I actually make the decisions to do it. Even the best people I know that are healthy and make healthy choices, even they think about it on a regular basis. And some of you are those people. What about financial health? How many of us want more money? Well, yeah. Well, financial health is not all about having more money, as we know. So it's really about our relationship with money that's unhealthy. Having more could help, for sure. But straightening out a relationship with money is the key. And then we've got emotional health. I know there's not anyone in this room that goes home after a hard day at work and eats too many potato chips or ice cream bars or maybe tacos if it's Taco Tuesday, right? Maybe you don't overeat. Maybe your finger just likes the scroll of Instagram or Facebook for 2 or 3 hours a night. I'm not going to tell you which one of those apply to me, if any of them. So we're not going to go there this morning. And, you know, the last thing is really spiritual health. This one is last because I often believe we often think of it last. It's not because we don't want it to change, but for some reason it actually seems the most elusive, or it can. It definitely has for me at times seemed like the most elusive. What does spiritual maturity mean anyway? What does spiritual vitality mean? You know, there are all kinds of strategies for affecting change in these areas that I just talked about, but there is one thing that will absolutely produce positive change in your life. What is the one thing that changes everything? Jesus. Yes. That's one person, not thing. But that works. You know, a daily quiet time with God is the one practice that has the power to positively change every area of our life. With God, with Jesus. You know, I said those two words. I know some of you are thinking, talking about quiet time again? Don't I hear those words too often? But you know, when I'm talking about quiet time, I'm talking about time spent in his word, time spent listening to him, time spent in prayer. And to be honest, I'm not sure why we even call it quiet time, because honestly, some of us are not usually very quiet. We talk a lot to God, and some of us don't want God to be quiet either. Most of us don't want God to be quiet either. In fact, we kind of panic when we feel like we don't feel him or hear him or see him, so working in our lives. So I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, great, here comes another sermon. We're being told we're too loud or too lazy or too busy. And it's so easy if you'll just do this or do that or do 1, 2, and 3. But I want to assure you that's not my goal here today, because I know it's not that easy. We're going to talk about some of those things, of course, but really I want to talk to us about our relationship with God and how we pursue that and how we're more intentional about that. So, you know, over 20 times in the Gospels, the four Gospels, the writers talk about Jesus' practice of withdrawing from the crowds to find a solitary place to talk with his Father. Luke 5:16 says Jesus would often go to some place where he could be alone and pray. How often do we get alone to talk with God? It wasn't just Jesus either. There were many biblical leaders and characters that were shaped and changed in radical ways by spending time with God. Jacob, who spent time wrestling with God, right? David, who wrote more than half of the Psalms, wrestled with God, not physically, right? But emotionally and spiritually, and fought spiritual warfare back and forth. Nehemiah, who prayed under extreme pressure. The prophets who heard from God and passed that word along. And of course, the disciples who were taught by Jesus one-on-one, and then pass that word along. All of these people experienced radical change because of their experience with God. You know, I don't have children of my own, but I've heard many stories about people holding their children for the first time, right? When they're first born, they realize how precious they are. And then the second thought is they often think, I'm not ready for this. I have so much to do, or I'm so unprepared. I have so much I want to become. There's just so many challenges ahead. And then parents generally take the child home for the first time, and they realize how true those thoughts were, from what I hear. You know, but God prepares you for each challenge that you face, and that's the way life after an encounter with God is. God has far greater blessings planned for us in eternity than we're ready for, and he matures us and equips us through personal worship. We're not ready for life. We're not ready for eternity, but when we encounter God, he gets us ready for our next right step or our next right challenge, one step and one challenge at a time. Isaiah 6, 1 through 13, this is a little longer verse, but we're going to read it, and it's on the screen as well. It was the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Yes, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of those people. Plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing." Then I said, "Lord, how long will this go on?" And he replied, "Until their towns are empty, their houses are deserted, and the whole country is a wasteland. Until the Lord has sent everyone away and the entire land of Israel is deserted. If even a tenth, a remnant survive, it will be invaded again and burned. But as terebinth and oak tree leaves a stump when it is cut down, so Israel's stump will be a holy seed." Isaiah's encounter in that passage was his initiation into prophetic ministry. It was a realization of what was to come for him. It was a preparation moment for more than he was prepared for on his own. When we have an encounter with God, we walk away changed. There's three results of an encounter with God that I want to talk to you about real quickly. One of those is a closer walk with God. An encounter with God teaches us something about him. Self-confidence is great, but considering that God made a good thing in us, right? But having an elevated view of God is even better. An elevated view of God is even better. To deepen our reverence and respect for a holy God who loves us is one result of an encounter with God. The second one is a cleansed heart. An encounter with God reveals some things about ourselves, right? Isaiah was a man of unclean lips, he says. And there's something about encountering God personally that strikes us with a deep sense of our own unworthiness. But notice the angel comes with a coal from the altar and cleanses his lips, searing away the stain of his sinfulness. And from that place of sacrifice, and for us it's the cross, right, Jesus, we are cleansed and freed to walk forward with a cleansed heart. Do you know that this cleansed heart that I'm talking about is not just a one-time event? Yes, Jesus cleanses our life when we ask him into it, but I need a clean heart daily. This world can so easily taint my view of God, blind us to his love, to his blessings, even just fill us with the desire for the things other than God. And that's why it's so important that we're seeking a relationship with God daily. So we're letting him renew us and restore us on a daily basis. It's so important for our walk with God. And then third is a clear purpose. An encounter with God changes our perspective on the rest of the world. Isaiah left that place of worship on a mission. He was to go deliver God's message to the people whom God loved. Our time of worship each day can remind us that in everything we do, we're living on a mission for other people and to other people. I believe that everyone needs purpose, and God is the author of the purpose we desperately need. There's a huge difference in the walk in the spirit of people who have a purpose and those who don't. So in your daily quiet time with God, start with worship, start with praise, and watch how God feeds you with a fresh vision of himself and even yourself, ourselves, of our purpose, of our mission to the rest of the world. You know, what needs to change about your life and about my life? It starts on the inside, at the level we relate to God with, at the innermost level. We must learn to listen to God's voice. You know, God has not remained silent. He has revealed himself in many ways, many different ways. Some that are general, such as in nature and our circumstances. But he also has spoken in ways that are specific, especially through the Bible, as Pastor was talking about a couple weeks ago. And he speaks in ways that are personal through the Holy Spirit also. You know, I have a hard time listening sometimes. I don't know if there's any other people out there like that. I just have to tune in. I have to be very intentional with that. Sometimes I'll blank out on whole conversations. Just ask my wife if you don't believe me. Or don't ask her. Maybe I don't want you to know. So, you know, in fact, when we're on the road sometimes, and this hasn't happened in a while, but she'll often say something and I'll just be in my own little world. And I've told her, I said, just reach over and touch my arm, right? Or just get my attention, tap me on the shoulder, something to get my attention before you speak up. I get lost in my own thoughts, get lost in my own little world while I'm driving. And sometimes I'm just not available and tuned in like I should be. And sometimes, honestly, I'm the same with God. I feel a little hard-headed when I realize God has been trying to tell me something and speak into my life, and I wasn't really tuned in. So there was a famous Bible character that had the same problem. 1 Samuel 3, 4 through 10 tells us that story. So it starts, suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up, went to Eli, said, here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, my son. Eli said, go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? Then I realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. You know, intimacy with God comes through listening attentively to his voice. Listening attentively for God to speak. God speaks in many ways, but often there are four primary ways. And Henry Blackaby writes about these in Experiencing God, and these are the ones I'm going to use today. The first one is that God speaks through his word, the Bible. Pastor talked about that a couple weeks ago and about how and why to read the Bible. If you aren't here, I urge you to go back and listen to that. There is so much good stuff in that message 2 weeks ago from him. You can watch it on Facebook or even go to the website if you just want to listen to the sermon. And then God speaks through his people, the church. I talked about this a little bit last week and about connecting with other people through small groups and in other ways. And then third, God speaks through his Holy Spirit. This is part of what we're talking about today, listening for and being tuned in to the Holy Spirit, to the nudge that he gives us sometimes to provide guidance, provide wisdom that he tries to give us. And then fourth, God speaks through our circumstances. Part of experiencing God, of hearing him, is tuning in. We have to understand that we have to know God's voice. We have to know his word to know whether we're hearing from God or if it's just our friends. Or if it's our own selfish desires, or even just the desires of the world, really, that almost are forced on us at times. So to get very practical, I want to give you five ways to get ready to hear from God. The first one is that we need to be expectant. God has promised to speak. So listen, believing you're going to be led by him. I think this one's really hard for us, maybe for several reasons. I know it's hard for me. You know, on one hand, I feel like if I'm expectant, then I may be also be disappointed. What if God doesn't speak? What if he doesn't respond? What if he does and I don't hear him, right? Either way, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be disappointed that I didn't hear God if it was me, or that he didn't speak if it was him. The problem is I won't know who it is. I just won't, whether it's me or him, I'll just attribute it to one or the other. But on the other hand, I feel like being expectant, I'm also not being grateful for what God has already done and how he continues to work in my life. But he does tell us to be expectant. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Call to me and I will answer you. Another way to get ready to hear from God is to be quiet. Ooh, we don't like this one, do we? This one's a really hard one for us. Most of us have no idea how to be quiet. And I'm not just talking about our mouth, our verbal skills. It drives us crazy. Do you know one of the first things when we're talking to small group leaders, one of the first things we train them to do is to allow silence. When somebody asks a question and they're just silent, it doesn't take long for a small group of people to get uncomfortable and start talking, right? Start having an answer at some point. But being quiet, being still before the Lord, quieting our mind and being still before the Lord in that way is so key to our spiritual growth. My favorite times with God are on my front porch just as the sun is rising. It's quiet. There's not much road noise yet, thankfully. You can hear the birds singing, the wind blowing, the trees. But to hear those things, I have to be silent and I have to be still. I can't be running around, making a lot of noise, working, doing those things. Excuse me. Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, wait only upon God and silently submit to him, for my hope and expectation are from him. The third way to get ready to hear from God is to be dependent. Dependency, like expectancy, can be a tricky one for us. I mean, God gave us a sound mind. He's blessed me with smarts and ingenuity. He expects me to use it, doesn't he? Instead of calling on him for everything I need, every little thing I need an answer for. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to think that sometimes. Not in a cocky or arrogant way, but just in an independent way, because that's what we're programmed to do in our culture these days. He didn't necessarily create in us the independence that I'm talking about, though. He desires for us to be in constant fellowship with him. In fact, in Philippians 4, we're told to pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank him for all he has done. It doesn't say pray about the big things. Pray about for the things we think are big or that we don't have an answer to. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. You know, if you're having a hard time depending on God for the big stuff, me too, maybe we start to depend on God for the little things. Many times we think God doesn't care about finding that parking place at the mall or whether we pass an exam or not, something like that. But God cares about all of our problems, even the ones we seem and that seem insufficient to us. And so when we depend on God for the little things in our life and he answers those and we see him working through, it will be a testimony to us that God is able to do abundantly and exceedingly abundantly all he can ask, we can ask or think. And that says that in Ephesians 3:20. You go back and read that for yourself later. You know, by beginning to depend on God for the small stuff in our life, we're gradually growing our faith, which is all about what time with God is about. 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 13 says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use the words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's word to explain spiritual truths. The fourth way to get ready to hear from God is to be teachable. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, every scripture passage is inspired by God. All of them are useful for teaching, pointing out errors, correcting people, and training them for a life that has God's approval. They equip God's servants so that they are completely prepared to do good things. The fact is, we need to hear what God has said and what God is saying to us. He speaks to point our lives in a direction that equips us for an eternity with him. And then the fifth thing is be aware. We have to be looking for and listening for God. We cannot go through our day on autopilot. I don't know about you, but I get on autopilot sometimes, mostly in the car, but other times as well. I don't know if you've ever gotten home and maybe after a long day and you realize you have no idea even where you turned and how you got there. You don't remember the trip. There's oftentimes when I'm headed to the bank or something like that, I turn right on our road to go home instead of going to the bank because I'm on autopilot. I'm just used to it. When we listen to God, that needs to be an active listening. We don't need to be on autopilot. Job 33:14 says, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it." And I feel like we don't recognize it because we're not expecting it. We're not trying to be aware. We're not staying aware of it. And we're often on autopilot. We need to train our ear to hear the voice of God, to feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen automatically, and we don't get it right a lot of the time. That's what practicing spiritual practices, that's why we call them spiritual practices, that's what that does for us. That's when we can perk up and say like Samuel, "Speak, your servant is listening." But we must hear him first. So I want to urge you to practice listening to God. Be open to what he's saying, not closed. Be quiet, be still, and hear him. You know, the goal of our time with God is many things. It's to get to know his nature, right, his character. It's to get acclimated to hearing from God, feeling his prompting. It's, of course, to worship our Creator, to worship God Almighty. And it's about tuning our hearts, minds, and souls to God's frequency, just like you tune a radio in, although we do it digitally now, or we hit the seek button, but it's not that easy with God. It's like the old dials where you have to turn it manually. You know, another goal of our time with God is to receive correction, and that's one we don't like. Why would we want to do that? But it's also to receive encouragement from God, build our faith, to pray for others, pray for situations, speak to God on behalf of others, whatever they may be going through. You know, I just want to encourage you this week to make a little time for God. And I'm speaking for myself here as well. You know, maybe you're already doing that. Maybe you're making a little time for God. Well, then I want to encourage you, maybe make a little more time with God. Let him encourage you through worship. You know, a daily quiet time with God is the one practice that has the power to positively change every area of our life. Like Pastor Wooten talked about 2 weeks ago, reading the Bible is one of the main components of daily time with God. Hebrews says the word of God is alive and powerful. It exposes our innermost thoughts and our innermost desires. Maybe that's one reason we don't want to have a daily quiet time with God, because it exposes those things that we know are unholy and unrighteous and unlike God is calling us to be. Pastor went on a couple weeks ago to question us, are people in your life being blessed? And when he asked that, I asked myself, are people in my life being blessed? There was a powerful saying that I took away from that message. Pastor said, "The tree that grows the fruit does not eat the fruit. It grows the fruit for others to enjoy." Are other people enjoying the fruit that my life is producing? Am I growing rotten, stinky fruit? Is my tree bad? So are you spending time with God regularly? Are you seeing changes for the better in your relationships, in your physical health, emotional health, your spiritual life, your financial life? As I said earlier, God has far greater blessings planned for us in eternity than we're ready for, and he matures us and equips us through personal worship and time spent with him. For God to work on us and in us, maturing and equipping us, we must spend time with him. I know many of us think when we hear a message like this that it's like, great, I've got to try to fit one more thing into my schedule. And you're right. It is something that we have to spend some time on. But time with God is not optional if we want to be a growing disciple of Christ. It's just not. If we want ice cream, we find the 20 minutes to run to Brahms or Dairy Queen. If we want to go fishing or hunting, we'll find the 4 hours to get up early on Saturday morning to go fishing. If we want to go antiquing or estate sale hunting or shopping, we'll find the time to do it. And I'm going to stop right there because I don't want you to throw your coffee at me. I'm in the same boat as you are in. Listen, we all spend time in ways that we're not intentional about. All I'm asking and all I'm saying is we need to be intentional with our time, and we've got to be intentional about spending time with God. It's easy to think, oh, I'll do this in 10 minutes. It'll only take me a few minutes, right, to do this. And then you get through with that and you move on to the next thing. And before long, 2 hours later, you haven't spent any time with God. I know that's true for me. If I want to do something, I find the time and the resources to do it. But how many times do I push time with God off in lieu of an extra cup of coffee with my wife, unfortunately? Or to read that book setting on my side table. And those aren't bad things. I'm not saying don't do those things. But maybe you shouldn't do those things, I shouldn't do those things, in lieu of spending time with God. We have to find a starting place in our time with God. You don't have to go from no time with God to an hour a day. That's not what I'm asking. Maybe you start with 10 minutes. Find 10 minutes that you can sneak in. Maybe instead of listening to the radio or a podcast when you're on your way to work, maybe you fire up the Bible app and let it read it to you. That's one way to get additional time with God. You notice I said additional time with God. Don't do that in lieu of spending time with God, even if it's just 10 minutes, intentional time somewhere, reading a quick passage. There's a pastor taught many years ago, and he said it many times since then, about the SOAP method, S-O-A-P. Read a scripture, observe kind of what it meant in that context, apply it to my life, and then write a short prayer. I was struggling with what to do in my quiet time for so long, and when he did that, when he went over that method, it brought my quiet time to life. Sometimes I spent 10 minutes, sometimes I spent 20, 30 minutes, or 45 minutes. It depended on so much, but the SOAP method is a great place to start if you don't have one, and I can talk with you more about that afterward, or you can email me, whatever the case may be. We have to take seriously our call to walk as a disciple of Christ. To do that, we must get to know him, plain and simple. Okay, now you may be here and not know God personally. Or you may be worshiping with us online today and not know God personally. But I want to invite you to know God. And if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to accept him right now. I want you to know that accepting Christ and asking him into your life is as easy as ABC. A, just admit you're a sinner and need forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." B is for believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. Mark 1:15 says, repent and believe in the gospel. And then C, confess your faith in Christ and his lordship over our life. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, I'm going to pray for all of us in just a moment. And if that's you and you're ready to accept Christ, either here in person or online, I just want you to say your own prayer using those ABCs, admit, believe, and confess. Let's pray right now. Father, I thank you, Lord, right now for your love for us. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for the time that you want to spend with us, Lord, that you never have too little time for us, God. When we ask, when we come, you are there, Father. And I just ask you right now, Lord, that as we embark on this next week, these next few days, Lord, that you help us to find time to spend with you. Lord, nudge us, show us those things, open our eyes, open our ears to see the things that we need to see and to hear the things that we need to hear, Lord, about making time for you, Lord, investing time in our relationship with you, just like we invest time in our relationship with others, Father. Lord, I just pray for those accepting you for the first time, Lord, that you will bless them, Lord, that you will send people into their lives to help them walk out their calling, Lord, that you will encourage them. Father, and as we leave here in a few moments, that you will encourage all of us and send people into our life that will encourage us, hold us accountable. Lord, that we will grow continually in you. Father, I want to be closer to you tomorrow than I was yesterday, Lord. Father, we just thank you for all these things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.